Before the earth was made, wisdom stood tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. It takes wisdom to get paid, to walk the right way, to make the right choices every single day. From the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind, Proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter. Wives shouldn't nag, men shouldn't brag. Shut your lips like a vice, show people you're wise. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day. Every verse, there's a lesson to learn. A spark of truth in every turn. So take a moment, let the words sink in. With every chapter, let the journey begin. Chapter every day, let the words of wisdom show you the way. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness arise. Get wise, no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom.
Alrighty then. Oh, that's not even valid, is it? Hey, welcome to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ, and I had not pre-recorded a video because it was Memorial Day, and I just didn't feel like turning my computer on. So I figured we'd just go live this morning and let people catch up. And who knows? Maybe somebody will join me live. It was very impromptu. And in fact, when I scheduled it, it actually managed to have the wrong year. So odds are not great of anybody actually being live, but you never know. You never know. All right. Well, let me start with a moment of prayer, and then we'll dive into Proverbs 27. Father God, thank you for another day. Thank you for a time to rest and a time to recharge and just be able to enjoy that time. Thanks to the sacrifice of those that could. Father, we do thank you for that, and ask you would continue to be with us today as we try and refocus on on life, post-pause, that we'd be motivated and that we would be ready to learn more about your nature and the wisdom that you would have us to live within. We love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty then. Well, we got to do the intro song still, right? We might be live, but that doesn't make us heathens. So silly. You gotta love it. All right. Let's do this. Proverbs 27, reading from the modern English version of the Bible. Indeed. I'm just realizing something else here. Let me fix this in the background while I start reading here. And maybe. Okay. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. No. Sorry. I just did something I shouldn't have done. That's not what we wanted to see today. Let's go ahead and not do that. Sorry about that. Well, that was embarrassing. Well, that actually is something that I was gonna hopefully talk about today, but I wasn't really prepared enough for it. But we'll get to that later on, I guess. I'll make that announcement later. Oops. A whole big thing. You got a behind the scenes kind of a thing going on here. in any event, the thing about this, the do not boast about tomorrow is I have to be careful with this, because sometimes I think when we do planning and stuff like that, it can kind of seem like we're boasting about tomorrow. Like when we have a plan of action, we tell people about it. And the notion there is that at times what will happen is you will get kind of caught in a trap of, when you tell people about something you're going to do, a lot of times you will get praise for that. And so you will get that dopamine hit, or whatever they call it, of having something done, even though you haven't done it yet. And it actually lessens your likelihood that things will actually get done, because you've already had that hit of dopamine, that sort of thing. And I was ignorant of this for a long time. I just figured it was just great to feel the support and whatever. I didn't realize that was potentially an issue. It was actually a book by actually someone who lives here in Franklin, John Acuff. He noted that, and ever since then, I've been really noting, oh, you know what? that is something I need to try and avoid if I can. It's just, I don't realize how much this is actually ingrained in our nature, and we may not think about it, that we do tend to boast about tomorrow without thinking about it, you know, that sort of thing. It does happen. And so we need to be cognizant of that. So, yeah. Anyway, something to be aware of for sure. And along with that, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I think I highlight this every time, but it's very important that we build the kind of relationships that people are talking about you positively, because otherwise they'll probably be talking about you negatively anyway. So we might as well have them talking positively about you. You know, that's a better way to go here. but it is much more powerful when it is someone else that's talking positively about you, or negatively. Yeah. It's true as well, but we need to be careful about that. A stone is heavy and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And just to explain that one a little bit more, this whole who's able to stand before envy. Envy or jealousy is something that you cannot do anything to prevent. Well, I don't know if you can prevent it at all. Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like, that's one of those emotions that is not, there's no way you can do anything about it because you're not actually involved. You know, if somebody's envious of you, the only thing you can, well, the only response I've ever seen to that is not appropriate. And that is to no longer achieve or no longer have things or that sort of thing. That's an inappropriate response to something like this. That's just not what we're talking about here, and not even close. So my encouragement with this is, you know, just as be aware that it's going to happen, and that, you know, especially if you're doing well and you're living within God's purpose and God's blessings, there are going to be those that aren't going to understand that part of it, and not willing to understand the sacrifice, and not willing to understand, you know, what it is that makes you different. You know, we can try and educate them on that, but ultimately, yeah, they're standing before that is not going to happen. Verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Let me pause for a second on that one. The more I'm thinking about it, I'm just feeling this out a little bit. This whole, how things got mixed up in our world, to think that, you know, we need to not rebuke our children or not rebuke those that are close to us, because they won't feel loved if we do. And so we just let them go on and get worse and worse. And, you know, then of course it usually reaches a boiling point and it just gets really bad. So a rebuke is better in that case. Actually, it's better in all cases. And that's just the truth. You know, if we need correction, we need to be corrected. That's just the way that humanity works. But the whole secret love thing, I think that's also become one of those things where, and I've experienced this in my own life, where it is when things get taken incorrectly or those kind of things. A lot of times you just start keeping things to yourself and you don't say much of anything. You know, it is a truth that I've experienced, and something that I have to work through as well is that, you know, I'm not always as good as expressing my feelings or emotions as I probably should be. And so, but that is an ill effect of a lot of this as well, is withheld rebuke and withheld, you know, love. And so it might still be there. I think both are still there, actually. Honestly, it's just if they're both being withheld for fear of, you know, whatever, then yeah, that's the way that's going to look. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. And by the way, we do have a survey up there, kind of as we kind of reach the end of a entire year of doing this. I just kind of wanted some feedback on what your guys' favorites are and things like that. So that's what that's for. And yeah, just to say that. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Similar lines right there. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from this place. From his place? I think it's, you know, say his home is the way to say that, I think. Yeah. That's one of those I've never really been sure of what that's all about. Verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You know, a bird always returns to the nest. I don't know if that's a reference to that now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more. I would hope so, but I'm not really sure that it doesn't match the tone very well. Anyway, sorry. Verse 10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go into your brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor who is near than a brother far off. It's always weird for people to hear that, but it's still very, there's truth there, that it's better to have local people you're relying on than to call on family for everything. It's just one of those, it's a survivability thing. It's a long-term thing. It's also when you're living around someone nonstop. Now, if your brother's your neighbor, that might be a little different, but that's a pretty rare circumstance, isn't it? So just saying it that way. It's better to have people that you can rely on around you rather than always having to rely on your family, which are going to just always remember that and not always positively, unfortunately. It's just kind of the nature of things. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad so that I might answer him who reproaches me. In other words, stop being a fool out there. All right. Verse 12, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Take his garment that is security for a stranger, and take a pledge of him who, and take a pledge of him for an adulterous woman. Yeah, and this is just that whole. And I have to wonder if this was just a more common thing in the day of Solomon, where foreign or adulterous women would come in and seduce men of Israel or whatever this looked like, and convince them to be a cosigner on a loan, kind of a thing, that sort of thing. And so it's kind of a double offense. But it comes up more than once. And so I have to wonder if it's something that was just a common practice back then or whatever. But well, we have to learn from that today. I mean, there's a lot, especially for young men, to learn. And that is that, you know, these kind of things, there's nothing new under the sun. And so these are the kind of things that can still happen. And these are the preying on the vulnerable is not something that's going away anytime soon. Quite the opposite, actually. So you would just need to be aware. You're going to be held responsible. You can't just escape it just because you were a co-signer. It means you were a signer. It's your loan, that sort of thing. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, he'll be counted a curse to him. Yeah. Continual dripping on a rainy day, very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind, and grasps oil with his right hand. And, oh, this is cool. This is fun when this happens. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And it just so happens that in 2 hours, I'll meet with my iron sharpens iron mastermind. So there you go. But I think I need to make like a special on this or something just to kind of fully explain this. And then actually what I'd love to do is actually find two pieces of actual iron and grind them together just so people can hear and see what that looks like. Because it is a noisy, ugly process of iron sharpening iron. In most cases these days, these days we don't really sharpen iron. We make it into steel first and then sharpen it. So it's a less ugly process with that. Actually, it's, you know, sharpening steel makes a lot of sparks and things like that. It's a, you know, prettier process, but two things that are about equal sharpening each other. One, when you're sharpening steel, usually you have something that's harder than that steel to sharpen it, or, you know, something to that effect, right? So you have something that's going to be able to hone it well. And so it's, or something that's kind of destructible, like a sandpaper or something like that. Well, with iron sharpening iron, you're literally having to take two pieces and make awful noises and heat and all sorts of, you know, things like that. Sparks, maybe, but I don't know if that's necessarily always a thing with iron sharpening iron in that way. It's a long process. It's very mistake driven. There's lots of things that go wrong with it. So that's why I think it's a good analogy for when we are, you know, we tend to like soften this verse. That's what I'm trying to get at here. So we don't want to soften this. It's an often painful process. And believe me when I tell you that, you know, I was in the hot seat last week, and I it's hard not to get frustrated at the process. It's like, because they're digging in. They're like, okay, well, have you considered this? Well, okay, what's going on with that? You said you were going to do this, and you didn't do it. What's up with that? You know, these are the kind of things that happen, especially in the way things are going right now, and so that I have some real challenges in my life, and, you know, so it's one of those things where it's just like you have people that are digging in with me, and they're not letting me just, you know, say, oh, woe is me or whatever. You know, no, that's not going to work. We're working together, and we're making it right, you know, and it's a process. It's ugly. So I have to let, you know, people that are, you know, from all walks of life that are all with a common purpose of sharpening each other into my life. And it's an ugly process, but it's one that I think is very necessary, and I'm glad that I have. I really can't imagine going through some things without having those kind of folks in my life. Verse 18, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. As water, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. So basically, if you have water that's still and you're seeing a reflection and you look straight on it, you'd see your face. Yeah. That's... not perfectly, though. So the heart of man to man. I think the fact that there's imperfections there is probably an interesting little side notion of that verse. Death and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. As a refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Though you should grind a fool in a mortar among wheat with pestle, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. It's a weird translation of that. Though you should grind a fool in a mortar and among wheat with pestle, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. It's kind of saying that you're... blending there's other high quality people around, that you're making sure that the fool's not the only one heard, I guess you could say. But that's not going to correct them. You know, that's not going to make them less of a fool, that sort of thing. It'd be like trying to grind a rock with your wheat. You're still going to get a rock in the end. Verse 23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to every generation. The hay appears, the tender grass shows itself, the herbs of the mountain are gathered, the lambs are for your clothing, and the goats are for the price of a field. You will have goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and for the maintenance of your maidens. But only if you're diligent. So be diligent and you will have is the way to look at this. Because riches are not forever. In other words, it's really important that we not, I guess, kind of forsake what was given or what has happened here, that sort of thing. And so we need to be always ready for it. Yeah, I posted on Facebook on Sunday a little bit of a reminder that I had in my life about preparedness. And that was that, you know, I've been playing guitar. Gosh, what year is it? So I've been playing guitar for 27 years, I think. 27. Let's crank that number up a little bit. Let's go with 37. Yeah, 37, so what year was that, 87, yeah, wow, okay, so a little bit more than that, almost 40 years, put it that way, and so when I was asked to play guitar for my church this Sunday, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, fine, no problem, we can do that, but I hadn't really been playing my guitar as often. I've been playing a different instrument, the bass. And so I had a challenge I did not expect in And one, just remembering, you know, where the fingers go and how they work, like kind of getting away from the muscle memory, that sort of thing. But also just my calluses had gone away completely because I hadn't been playing with those little strings for such a long time. In fact, my fingers are still hurting today, Tuesday. And that was a reminder of what preparedness looks like to me. It's just like, yeah, you can have things that you're ready for, but even in that readiness, you'll only rise to a certain level. You know, you're only fully going to rise to your level of preparedness. You know, you're not going to rise this. You won't rise to the occasion. You'll only survive the occasion. And so that was a thing, and we got through it. I was literally wincing in pain, which is always a fun thing to do when you're on camera, by the way. You're like, trying to look like I'm smiling, but I'm not. but the lesson here is that, you know, obviously I need to be better about, you know, playing more on both instruments and just to be ready for that occasion. And so that was a good reminder to me. But that's the same thing what we're talking about here, basically, is to say that just because you know how to farm in an example like this, just because you are aware of how it works, doesn't mean you can't let off the gas, I guess you could say. You still have to be very diligent about it. Same thing for weight loss. You know, we had a little weekend here, so I am, you know, I managed to put on 2 pounds. It's probably inflammation, but yeah. So, and somebody who's trying to do weight loss, that becomes, okay, well, got to get back on. Got to stay diligent, you know, got to stick with it. It's not just going to happen. Just because you know how to lose weight doesn't mean you're going to lose weight. You have to actually do it. And so this is just a reminder that, you know, it's a process. That diligence is a process that we need to be aware of and get into. But there's also a promise here. That's not in vain, that there'll be plenty to be had. All right. So I tell you what, let's land this plane here. I forgot to put this on a bigger QR code, but that's all right. I do have a survey out there. There'll be a link that I'll put on the YouTube description. I think I can do it in Facebook too, but yeah, we'll see. But in any case, I was glad you're here with me today. And actually, I think some people did actually end up joining me live, which is kind of cool. So glad you guys are here. And we will see you yet again tomorrow. I'm going to go back to our pre-recorded messages, but we'll see you again tomorrow. So be blessed by the best. And go be a blessing all the rest. Love you guys. See you again tomorrow.